Once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And today is Saturday. Saturday's not a great surprise because we always do this on Saturday. But this particular Saturday is special because it's November 29th, 2014.
This is the only time in the history or future of the world that it will be this date.
Yes, it is. This is a unique date in the history of the world. It is November 29th, 2014 in some places.
Welcome to the newest moment in time.
Yes. New records are being broken every day for the age of the universe, the age of the planet Earth.
Yes.
My age, as well. And Jake's age. So
I think we need headlines saying all of this. So this is why we've begun the radio program by telling you that records are being broken all over the world for the current age of the listeners.
That's right. And another record or two that was also broken. But first we need to disclose.
Yes.
Anyway.
Put those on. This is a conversation here.
The Personal Wealth Coach is not merely a radio presentation aired... Aired out. That's probably more like it.
Aired out every weekend.
Aired out every Saturday morning on KTEM. It is also, not coincidentally, the name of a firm, at least the DBA, of the Wealth Coach LLC, doing business as the Personal Wealth Coach, which is a firm that's headquartered in Salado, Texas, and is registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission as an investment advisor, and a peculiar kind, the kind that doesn't sell stuff and doesn't have any affiliation or connection to any of the broker dealers.
We sell advice.
Well, we don't sell investments.
We sell us.
We don't sell investments. And we don't take commissions, and we are fiduciaries and things like that, which makes us really weird in the financial world.
People already knew we were weird. If they were listening to this program, they knew
that. Yeah, well, we're even weirder than most weirdness. But anyway, that's who we are, and that's what we do. We don't do something else. We just, other than this radio, whatever it is, program? Program's not right, because we're not programmed when we come in here. We don't even have a program when we come in here.
It's a tell. It's certainly not a show, so it's definitely a tell.
It could be a tell. That's definitely a presentation.
People that have been listening to this tell over the last several years have heard us debate what we should call it
for
that entire time.
If you're aware of a tell and you're in a game...
You don't tell people about
that. But if you're aware of the tell in the game, you will come out better off than if you're not aware of the tell, and that may... No guarantees here, but that may be true of our listeners and at least of our clients. Could be that because they're aware of the tell, they're better off than they would otherwise be. Speaking of which, if you'd like to tell us or ask us something that has to do with economics or investments or things of that ilk, do not, I emphasize again, do not ask us questions about organized sports.
Or you can ask.
If you wish to have an answer that makes any sense. As one person asked, what do you think, the Eagles or the Cowboys? And I said, it all depends on whether the Cowboy has a rifle.
The Bulls. Definitely the Bulls.
The Bulls over the Eagles?
I think the Bulls over the Cowboys. Because
I don't know.
Cowboys are involved with Bulls.
I've watched a lot of Cowboys ride Bulls, and generally speaking, the Cowboys win.
Well, it always ends with the Cowboy not on the Bull anymore. Even when the Cowboy supposedly wins, they're all running away trying to climb the fence. So I'm sure the Bulls are going to win the Super Bowl.
But in the end, they eat the Bull.
I think they use the Bull for stud.
Yeah, but at some point they...
That's true.
The Bull gets put down by a Cowboy.
Well, at some point, I've heard enough Garth Brooks to know the gold in the buckle.
The gold and the buckle?
Yeah, they may eventually get put down by the injuries that they received.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Anyway, the telephone number's in here if you would like to join in this insanity or perhaps correct our insanity. 773-1400 if you're in East Bell County, otherwise.
Well, before I give the number, I must warn you that many professionals have tried to correct our insanity and have only gained their own version of insanity.
Yes.
Toll-free number is 1-866-597-1400.
In the interest of full disclosure, I should tell you that is not a toll-free number. You don't pay anything, but KTEM And Town Square Media actually pays if you call on that number.
Right.
Somebody, so it's not truly a toll-free number.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, and anyone who claims that a phone number is a lunch needs to have their brains looked at as well.
They do really well on this show. How do you look at somebody's brains? Generally speaking, unless you're a brain surgeon, if someone is looking at your brains, it generally indicates you're not there anymore.
Well, I look at what my brain says occasionally.
Your brain says things?
Well, it transmits electrical activity that I look at on screens.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. But you can't see the brain itself.
No.
If you need to have your brain looked at.
Particularly not your own brain.
You ever think about the concept of you need to have your brain looked at? Anyway.
Do you have a flashlight? I've got an ear.
you need to have a knife and a saw,
too. A really, really, really powerful flashlight.
Actually, let me reverse that. Technically, your eyes are part of your brain.
Yeah.
So we are looking at people's brains.
Well, it just
brains.
Depends on how you break apart the systems. We have a.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah. If you break apart the systems, then everything could be part of the brain. It's all part of the nervous system.
No, just the eyes. The eyes are literally an extension of the brain.
I think the word literally now has a meaning in the dictionary that includes the word figuratively. So when
I don't
you use
so.
Yeah, it does. When you use the word literally, it no longer
you
means
mean the opposite of what it means?
Right. It's an antonym. An antonym is a word that means its own opposite.
I have an ant.
And do you have an M?
I don't know.
We have been rambling for now 10 minutes.
And we have said nothing of any significance. Well, nobody's called.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Anyway, so, okay.
I've got some things to talk about.
I do, too. Dow hits another record as oil plunges.
Well, I want to know which record label keeps getting broken by the Dow.
By the Dow, yeah, that's important. So
you know, this is the longest winning streak week for week since November of 2013.
It's the longest.
Yeah, it's a really long record to break. I just love the fact.
Well, there's another one. There's another one. The S&P 500 up 12% this year has not yet recorded a drop of four consecutive days during the year. That's the longest streak in any calendar year. The previous longest was 1997, but this is the longest streak without four consecutive down days in a calendar year in the history of the S&P 500.
All right, so thinking about that particular record, it's kind of like the book, the Guinness Book of World Records. Now they're not breaking records for...
They're making records.
...distance flight, or they're saying... How many stinging hornets can you hold in your mouth while snorting escargot? And yes, he has done three. He has broken the record. And now, in this particular case, we're making the longest time without four consecutive days of
We've also had
stinging hornets in your mouth while the Dow Jones Industrial Average moves in perpendicular direction.
Right, with it, and also with a 3.9% growth. That the GDP was revised to, which is a dangling participle, to which the GDP was revised. So now we know that in the third quarter, the gross domestic product of the United States, after adjusting for inflation, negative exports, and a host of other things that make no sense to me,
grew at
3.9% on an annualized basis.
Right. When that is revised upwards, it's not the only quarter they revised upwards.
Mm-hmm.
They revised several quarters upwards, which means that if we add it all together...
It could be inflationary.
Oh, man.
All those quarters suddenly
quarters,
worth more.
Yeah. If you get too many quarters together, you start getting dollars.
Right.
Anyway, the United States economy is growing at a faster pace than we thought it was. And we actually said, well, than what the government thought it was. We actually said that we expected this several weeks ago. This episode, by the way, is going to be us patting our own backs quite a lot. I'm going to probably require a chiropractor to work on my shoulder afterwards because patting my own back is difficult. But we mentioned that the GDP would be larger than expected, and we also mentioned quite clearly several weeks ago that the price of oil was going to drop.
Earl.
And it was going to drop into the mid-60s and maybe down to 60. And now it is...
It's below 70.
It is at 66.
Yes.
That is...
And that is very significant.
There are a couple of countries that are chortling about this, which are the countries that
the
you
ones
would
that import oil.
No, these are the countries that you would expect not to be.
Who?
Russia and Venezuela.
Chortling?
Chortling. They are gleefully giggling together.
As the price of oil drops.
Right.
Why? Because they're insane?
Slightly, yeah.
Because both of them derive their major source of income for their government from the price of oil.
Yes. They see the price of oil today as a weapon targeted at the shale boom in the United States.
It isn't working.
It isn't working. Here's why I say this. The Russian energy minister yesterday was talking about how they can keep this pace up as long as they want, but the folks of Nebraska and Texas will be eating their hats soon. And I suppose that eating hat means something different in Russian than it does here. Usually here it means that you said you could do something that you couldn't, but I don't know, maybe they're not quite sure what that meant. Anyway,
they would be eating their hats?
Yeah, I guess they're hungry. In Russia, that must mean they're hungry.
Why would you want to eat a hat?
I don't know. It seems like it wouldn't be very digestible.
No. Well, maybe if your hat were made out of, like, beaver skin or something.
But let me give you the other twist to this.
Okay.
Before they were chortling, this is all coming from the OPEC meeting that just happened. Before
they were chortling?
Yes.
OPEC meeting?
Yes, I'm saying they were chortling. Before they came out of there saying, ha-ha, we have struck a blow against the capitalistic West. So those are my words. I paraphrased. Before
we're translating from Russian.
Yes, and from Spanish in Venezuelan form.
Right.
Before this, they were asking the countries of OPEC to lower the exports. They're saying, please do not export as much oil.
So we can have higher prices.
So we can have higher prices. And the rest of the country said, if we do that, if we do not lower the oil, if we don't let the oil prices drop, then the shale folks will continue to make lots of money, and they'll just keep it at this level forever. If we lower it further, maybe we can put Nebraska off of the new exploration, and then we'll be able to bring it back up. Now, this isn't really a very strategic move. It sounds like it.
It's really stupid.
It's a really stupid
idea.
They
don't understand American companies very well.
No. So to explain why that's stupid, from a perspective of someone that does that for a living. They are doing this for a living. They are the members of OPEC. All of their revenue is derived from oil. Their concept of oil is old-fashioned. They're looking at...
Well, oil is old-fashioned.
Yeah, it is very old-fashioned. Millions of old-fashioned.
well, it couldn't be over 4,000.
That's so last millions of ago decades.
Right.
Anyway, the great oil titans of the world recognize now that the United States is the number one oil exporter, the number
actually
one oil producer.
Are we actually exporting?
We're also the number one importer of oil.
Right.
So think about all of that together. We're the number one exporter and the number one importer.
We don't actually export raw oil because Congress would get angry.
No, correct. We are the number one
exporters
of petroleum products.
We don't want to be selling it to people because then we'd make money, and that would make particularly, and I know you guys are going to be mad at me about this, but particularly would make the conservative Republicans in Congress very angry.
Right. We cannot sell oil to the rest of the world because that would lower our ability to have independence. So... back to this image of the United States as the number one exporter of petroleum products,
right?
The number one importer of petroleum products, and the number one producer of petroleum products. Now, there are different numbers out on
that. I also think we're the number one user of petroleum products.
Well, we are, but we're about to be passed up by China.
Well, I don't know. China is slowing down.
China has slowed down, yes. Right. But they have a lot more
people
than
we do. That's one of the stories that I was going to be talking about.
So when OPEC got together and they said, what we're going to do is we're going to keep the export levels at the same amount. And even though that the Americans are putting more and more oil out there, the oil price is dropping, we're going to not slow down. Because if we don't slow down, the oil prices will drop. And they've looked at the numbers, and they say this makes it unprofitable to discover new oil in Nebraska. And if it drops below 60,
so this is all about Nebraska.
It's unprofitable to discover new oil in Texas when we're talking shale. Now,
here's
the problem.
Are you talking shale here?
Here's the problem with all of this.
Yes.
The time horizon for the already developed resources, this means already drilled for resources, all the expenses are already done, they're paid for. On shale, we're talking about 10 years out. So what the Saudis and the Kuwaitis have done is said, well, we've got enough oil for the next, we can make it on our revenue on oil because it's the cheapest in the world there to get it out of the ground. Mm-hmm. We can continue like this for as long as we want because it doesn't cost us very much to get it out of the ground at this price. We're making lots of money. We're kind of used to it at $10 a barrel, not at $66 a barrel, right. Much less $120 a barrel. So they're saying everything's fine. Now, the Venezuelans and the Russians are not so happy because the Venezuelans and the Russians, it cost them about $70 a barrel with transportation and everything else. Now, their natural gas in Russia, it costs less than that to get that out. But they really want the prices to be around $100.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is why they were chortling.
Right, so because they can't look like they lost.
They're bluffing.
When they came out, exactly. When a Russian chortles... This is why I use the word chortle.
I love the word. I don't use it routinely.
Yeah, they're just not very happy people. Even when they take a country, they're very stoic about it. Yep, we did that.
Or, No.
We didn't do that. Here's a bunch of medals for not doing that. Yes. And, oh, yes, it's now part of our country.
Even when they succeed in conquering a country.
There's no chortling.
And occupying it. They don't chortle.
Chortle only happens when they're bluffing.
When they're bluffing, yes. Anytime that you see a Russian smiling... Anytime that you see Vladimir
Putin,
you know, they should rename him. The last time there was a guy who was Vladimir, who was expansionist.
Oh, yeah. Tepes was his last name,
yes,
I think.
Yes, and he was basically...
Dracul?
Yes. It was Dracula. But the Russians, anytime that you see Vladimir Putin smiling, you know there's a lie on his lips.
Right.
If you see his lips moving, you know there's a
lie. Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, you never can tell because he throws in enough truth in there to get you going, huh? Wait, what?
Well, did you hear his announcement recently that...
Which one?
That we should not be concerned about human rights in Ukraine or anywhere else because we have violated human rights in Ferguson.
Oh, well, there was another statement here because... The other group that is being directly impacted by the price of oil...
Is Ferguson?
No. It's another group that is giving kudos to Ferguson. So Russia is being directly impacted in a very negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Venezuela is mm-hmm. being directly impacted in a negative way because it costs mm-hmm. a lot of money
for
them.
Right, right.
Because they're not very good at development.
Well, actually, they're very good at de-developing.
Right. Here, come on in, develop for us, and then we'll take it from you. Yeah, it doesn't work very well because now there's nobody there to maintain it.
You put all the political cronies and family of whoever's in charge running the oil.
And they don't know what they're doing.
And A, they don't know what they're doing, and B, they're siphoning it off in their own pockets.
Right.
And they wonder why it falls apart.
Right.
Yes.
So Venezuela's being impacted, and through them, Cuba's being impacted because that's where a big, huge source of their revenue comes from is direct deposits from a charitable organization way from Venezuela. But on top of that, the Islamic State, ISIS.
Yes, they're in a world of hurt.
They are in a world of hurt because...
I thought you said they were in favor of this.
Well, they were in favor of Ferguson.
Oh.
They are... ISIS is in a world of hurt in that they were selling on the black market oil. And in order to do that, the smugglers charge a lower rate than...
Isn't all oil sold on a black market?
I suppose so, unless you're talking about gasoline and it's kind of yellowish.
Yeah, okay.
The refined oil can be kind of yellowish, too.
Yeah, but just oil itself. Right.
So it's very crude. Anyway,
it is.
In the black market for this black thing called oil,
mm-hmm.
the smugglers come in and they're not going to buy it at the market value. They don't come in and say, I will buy this from you at $66 because I'm not taking any extra risk by dealing with international terrorists. They want to charge a lot less than that. So they've already been doing a lot less. And now that price is dropping as well.
Well, I'd even go so far as to say people who want to buy oil on the black market are probably sort of reluctant to buy oil because there's so much oil out there.
Right. The prices of oil are coming down so fast that the profit margin on smuggling oil is not worth the risk anymore. So this is putting ISIS in a pinch because now their revenue sources are drying up right at the same time that they're being bombarded.
The concept of pinching ISIS is sort of humorous to me. Anyway,
well, they didn't wear green on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, that probably is the worst thing.
Right.
So, but you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake.
McClure. Telephone number's in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And that's presuming that today is November 29th. If it's not November 29th, the telephone numbers remain the same, but you can't reach us because, as I learned, unless you're talking on a gravity phone, you can't speak across time.
Hmm. Very, very true. Well, you can speak across time, but only in the forward direction.
Yeah, but you can't have conversations across time.
Only in the forward direction.
You can't talk into the... You can't actually speak into the past.
You can. You just have to record it.
No, in not in the future.
Not in the past. Oh, yeah. Only in the past. Right.
But gravity can do that, apparently, because I saw the movie Interstellar.
Oh.
And apparently you use a gravity phone to...
To talk to the past?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this...
But you have to. But you wind up talking in binary, so nobody can understand.
All you have to do to make a successful movie these days is completely reinvent physics.
They did.
There you go.
It was another. It's like the movie Gravity. And oddly enough, Interstellar is really about gravity and bad science.
Well, it's just different science. It's science of a fictional universe, just like Transformers. We don't stand there and go, "Oh, that's not possible."
Well, this is the point. It's not just if it were bad but consistent.
Uh-huh.
I would love it. I would have no problem with it. But it is so random and inconsistent.
Well, it's a Hollywood reality. You don't expect consistency there.
Every once in a while, I actually do. I could go on and on.
You're in for a world of disappointment.
I've already been in for a world. That's why I don't watch TV anymore. Okay, anyway, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. Oh, and for whatever it's worth, the S&P 500 really did, for the sixth week in a row, close out at a record high. Oh. And that is something that...
Well, it closed out at the record high for the week. It wasn't a record high on
Friday. Well, I mean close out. It hit a record high each week for the last 6 weeks. Now, you can say that's one of those made-up records. No,
this is actually real.
The last time that happened was in 2003. And in case you don't remember what happened in 2003, we were coming out of a major market decline from...
The dot-com crash.
The dot-com crash. It bottomed in 2002. And in the following year... We had this consistent record-breaking performance in the S&P 500 stock index. This is both worrisome and a very good sign, like everything else that's in economics.
Everything is worrisome and also very good.
Yeah, and what we've got is a series of relatively small rises each week that break the record again, and that is something that can be sustainable for a really long period of time. It's when the market takes off and has outsized increases. For example, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is the one more widely followed in the GNews media, is only up 7.55% this year. I say only.
That's all?
I'm sorry. And 52-week, 10.83% is the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the last 12 months, 52 weeks, is up 10.83%. And you may say, depending on your perspective, whether your image is from the 1990s or from some other period, you may say, ooh, that's really good. Well, no, that's just kind of average for the last 100 years or so. More than 100 years with the Dow. The Dow, on the other hand, 52-week up about 15% again, pretty close to its really, 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 really long-term average. NASDAQ up 18% for 52 weeks. What was significant is the NASDAQ was up almost 2%, 1.67% for the week. But the S&P 500, which is the kind of mid-range, this is the one we kind of watch, is up 0.2% for the week from last week. So why am I giving you all these weird numbers? 0.2% isn't going to break the bank, and it is consistent with the increase in earnings. So the S&P 500 is rocking along, at least based on the information that's out there right now, in a very rational fashion. Now, coming into December, which rumor has it, although we cannot say with certainty and there's no guarantee, we will not warranty this, is about to arrive.
Well, are you making a prediction here?
I'm making a prediction.
I need some more caveats on that prediction. In the event that time does not stop, which we wouldn't know about anyway,
Right, or run backwards.
Right.
Well, now it has stopped because it's
that clock has been stopped for quite a long time.
And it's just, and the second hand is twitching, and what we need to do is determine if that's Morse code.
Right. It could be.
Because the it's guy, just the very guy repetitive. From the future could be sending us Morse code through the second hand. The twitching of the second hand.
Anyway, yeah, so you're making a prediction, and that is that December will be starting.
Right, and
On Monday.
And I got that from the twitching of the second hand of the clock up here.
Right,
okay?
The Nostradamus will predict again. Not only will it begin, I'm going to make a further prediction. It will begin on a Monday, and the date will be December 1st.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So write that down, people, if you don't
and
believe.
Just, and if you're looking for the end to come, which
the end
apparently
of what?
The end.
The end?
The end.
Like what it says at the end of the movies? Or?
Like just the end. Because
Fiend.
Like, you know, like four, there's this thing going around that if you have four blood moons in so many months, then the world comes to an end or something.
I understand that if you have six full moons in the same month, that followed by a leap year in the next month, that there are problems with your calendar.
Right. But it's sort of like the Mayan, you know, end of the world thing, end of rock.
Right.
When they ran out of
calendar, therefore the end of the world is 2012.
Right. Doggone it, we missed that, didn't we?
I tell people this regularly. I stand on the end of the world all the time. So do most other people. Unless you're underground, you are standing on the edge of the world. All you have to do is jump upwards to leave the edge of the world in an upward direction. Of course, you'll come right back down, but you have now stepped off the edge of the world.
You got it.
Just in the upward direction, not in the sideways direction.
But the people in Australia, on the other hand.
Yeah, they are down under. They do not, for some reason, refer to us as up over. I have asked.
They should.
I've asked repeatedly.
They should.
And they all think that's quite hilarious, but, you know.
If they're down under, we're up over.
We must be, by definition.
Or we could be over up.
Over up, yes.
Anyway, this is the Personal Wealth Coach. And you can call us at 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
We cannot seem to get stuck on anything serious, no matter how hard we try.
It's been a long week.
There are there's a host of things going on in the big wide world that need talking about, but as long as our brains are scrambled, we'll go ahead and play some commercials.
Yeah.
And that'll further
scramble our
mess
brains.
Us up. But Town Square has things that they want to say to you, and since they pay the electric bill here, they probably ought to be able to say it. So here they are. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And the telephone numbers are calling here have not changed. 773-1400 from East Bell County otherwise.
1-866-597-1400 anywhere else within the sounds of our voices.
Interesting going on in the world. Interesting large Uber.
Besides
macro.
Russia and Venezuela and Cuba and ISIS. And
the Uber macro scale.
They go bigger even than country scale.
Right, Uber macro.
Not just macro.
But Uber macro, which is Uber means bigger than.
It means German big. And
really,
as
really
everyone
big.
Knows, Germans can be very big.
It's not just big. Uber is.
Over.
Yeah, it's over, but I mean, it means really, 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 really.
Yeah,
over.
It's like super over.
Yeah, like more than a little.
Okay.
It's better than bad. It's good.
Right.
So the Uber picture in the world, and I'm going to probably – this is something worth talking about for multiple weeks, and I think I'm probably going to do it.
Oh, man, that's going to be boring. Our program doesn't even last over multiple
weeks. Yeah, but yeah, it does. It goes from 1 week to the other. I'm going to be saying this again in the future.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's one of those things to watch. You know, we make economic predictions every once in a while on here, and
we only tell you about the ones that we get right.
Well, in advance, yeah. We know in advance the ones we're going to get right.
Right,
but
right.
So far, and it's a little bit scary, frankly, we've been right. And we haven't been particularly wrong. And when we've actually made a call and said, hey, this is a big thing and it's happening and it's going to continue to happen. And, you know, it's kind of like in 2009, we said, and in 2002,
right.
We said, boop, good time to invest.
There's the bottom
the
right
market
there.
Is going to be going up, and it's going to go up a whole bunch, which is a precise economic number.
It's going to go up a whole
bunch.
Bunch.
Yes. as opposed to a half bunch.
Right.
Okay, not a hole in the sense that a empty place.
Right, but the,
yeah, but
the whole of
have
it.
You ever thought about the fact that when something is complete and has no emptiness in it, it's whole?
Yeah, but if it's just an empty space, it's also whole?
Yes,
that's
another English is...
It's a synonym that should be an antonym if it was spelled correctly.
You don't want to spell whole, C-O-R-R-E-C-T.
No, no, that gets all kinds of weird.
Anyway,
go ahead.
The point I wanted to, and we've been talking about this literally for years now, and I don't mean that figuratively. I mean that absolutely. So
right.
Figuratively.
Literally for years.
The Germans, not the Germans. Yeah, the Germans in essence. The Europeans. The Europeans in the Eurozone have tried an experiment that they're still trying of being conservatives that would make any good Tea Partyist thrilled, even though they hate the Europeans and claim they're liberals.
Yeah, we're talking about fiscal conservatism,
right.
Not social conservatism.
And they have made a point of holding down their deficits and basically reducing spending as revenues reduce at the governmental level and so on. And they have been holding off doing quantitative easing. You know, we started quantitative easing in 2009, and they're still thinking about it. Well, the Europeans are also teetering along on the edge of a severe recession. The southern half of the Eurozone, along the northern border of the Mediterranean Sea, has double-digit inflation. I mean, it goes as high as 23% in some places. And unemployment.
Unemployment, yeah.
Very, very high.
Say,
unemployment.
I'm seeing deflation. But
yeah, they've got,
okay.
And they're actually having deflation in the southern half of the Eurozone. And they're not doing anything particularly big to shock themselves out of it. They're, oddly enough, and I don't think this is intentional, they're following the Japanese method of doing things, which is let nothing fail and be very conservative in your spending and just be generally very conservative fiscally.
Well, what it's done for Japan is it prevented them from complete total failure and collapse. It's just not had any recovery, no growth at all.
And so Japan is, again, is been in a recession for a long time, and they're sliding back into a recession. The Chinese, on the other hand, took the opposite approach.
Spend and spend and spend and spend on surplus things, build cities that have no people living in them, build roads that go to cities that have... They didn't build any roads to nowhere. They just built the nowhere into somewhere that nobody lives in first.
There's a fellow that has been in reporting in China for a couple of decades who recently returned to the United States. He's at the Wall Street Journal, and when he got back, he wrote the Saturday essay... in the journal.
Was that printed on a Sunday?
Well, anyway, it actually comes online. But
okay.
you go to the Saturday essay, there's a Saturday essay in the online Wall Street Journal. I don't know, maybe in the print one, but I haven't read the print one in so long. Here's a couple of quotes from it. Bob Davis is the guy's name. He's been like 20 years reporting in China for the Wall Street Journal, for the Chinese version of the Wall Street Journal. There's certain things he couldn't say there because the Chinese would basically shut them down if they said it. So he came back here, and there's two excerpts from his essay. I'm just going to quote this. From my hotel window in the northeastern Chinese city of Yingkou, I could see empty apartment buildings stretching for miles with just a handful of cars driving by. It made me think of the aftermath of a neutron bomb detonation. The structures left standing, but no people in sight. This is apparently in the mid-level sized cities across China, an extremely common sight during the downturn. Money was loaned to developers to build apartment buildings and factories and whatever they wanted to build. They could build as many as they wanted to. They are still empty. And this is the point. Those loans are generally non-performing loans held on the books of the banks.
Banks are zombies at this point.
Which is the trick that Japan tried. Okay, now, second quote. The situation has become so bad in Handan, a steel center about 300 miles south of Beijing, that a middle-aged investor, fearing that a local developer wouldn't be able to make his promised interest payments, threatened to commit suicide in dramatic fashion last summer. After hearing similar stories of desperation, city officials reminded residents that it is illegal to jump off the tops of buildings.
Oh, we will put you in jail
if you jump off the top of buildings.
It's illegal.
And the reason I say that is these are examples of what is presently in China economically, what's going on. We think of the Chinese economy as this juggernaut, this behemoth. I love those words.
Yeah, this is pretty big.
This dreadnought that's rumbling along and will soon overtake the United States and run us down. His position, now that he's out of China and he's not going to go back and he can write freely, is that the Chinese have built the equivalent of our housing bubble exponentially.
Yeah, well, this is something that I could tell you without a whole lot of evidence, which is one of those rare things that it's just a truism. If you have a lot of growth and no downturns, something's wrong. Something's very wrong, and China has had a lot of growth and no downturns.
Mm-hmm. So if we listed the things that might cause the stock market to crash last week.
Right.
And this is one that we sort of left off, and this week I was looking around to see if we missed anything, and we did.
This is a major one.
Probably China,
three or four on the list.
China's economic health is extremely artificial and is balanced on a knife edge. Yes, they do have a very powerful central government.
Well, just like all tightrope walkers, they have a weighted stick in their hand. And on the ends of the
Communist Party, right.
One end is the Communist Party. The other end is a lot of cash held in the United States and in their sovereign fund.
This is the point.
But you're walking on a knife edge with a lot of weights in your hand, you need to be careful.
Well, this is the point that came up in this essay that I thought was fascinating. I never had really thought of this before. And that is that the Chinese, yes, have this tremendous $4 trillion reserve backing their currency.
Right.
And backing their economy. But here's the problem with it. It's very little of it is in cash. Most of it is in U.S. government securities, which they would have to sell.
And they can't sell that at a rapid rate.
And if they were to sell the U.S. government securities, now this is the key, their currency, the yuan, would rise, or I think it's called the pinibi or something like that, in addition to the yuan. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, their currency would rise against the dollar, they are very, very dependent upon exports. It would wreck their export market, which would plunge their economy into a recession or a depression, which is what they don't want to do at all costs.
Right.
So they've got this problem, in that the reason they hold this huge quantity of dollars and treasury securities is to protect their currency, so that if things started to fall apart, if they got a cascading effect, they couldn't cover they just couldn't cover things with something that they're already using as a reserve. It's kind of like if your ship is being stabilized by an anchor, and the waves are washing up and down and over your ship, and you think, I've got to drop some weight someplace, you don't cut the anchor line.
Right.
But so that the guy who writes this says that there is a real danger. And this danger is reflected in the very, very severe posture that China takes on freedom of information and democracy. Because if things started to go a little unstable, even a little unstable, a lot of investors would probably pull out. And if they pulled out, this entire house of cards, and that's literally what China has built. You've got all these empty buildings. That's as close to a house of cards. I mean, they literally have the shells of buildings standing up all over, making it look like... Well, in some cases, you know, what they've got is a sign.
Right.
Well, McDonald's goes here.
Their in foreign investment rate is in the double digits as a percentage of their...
That's people investing in China.
Right. People that are not from China investing in China is a big, big part of their economy. Exports are also a big part of their economy. They now import more than they export, but when you consider the vast amount that you're talking about, they are still tremendously dependent on the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And with Europe teetering and Japan teetering and the United States doing really well, we're the only thing kind of keeping that balance working right now.
This is something, again, that didn't strike me.
Hopefully it didn't hurt when it did.
It did hurt my brain because I thought, boy, you stupid, Jeff, you missed this. The private debt in China has risen faster than any nation in history. Now, when you take the private debt that is really backed by the government, in other words, all the debt that's held by banks that are underwritten, which is all the banks, all the state banks,
right,
which is in fact underwritten by the government, so that it is really national, it is really their
national
government debt.
Yeah.
Like to build all these buildings. If you add that into their, what we would call the equivalent of a debt held by the public, because
right,
it is,
right,
their debt relating to their GDP is 10 times ours.
Yeah. You could say the same thing about Russia.
Well, you can say anything about Russia, and it's probably true, unless it's not good.
Yeah, the major oil and gas companies, the two big ones, are run by oligarchs that were appointed by Putin. So this is not a capitalist system anymore. This is a dictatorship system.
Yeah, they've gone from a communist system to an oligarchy.
Right, and those oligarchs...
I like the idea of having an oligarchy.
Yes, it's just fun to say.
Yes.
we believe we have a representative oligarchy. And by that, I mean we represent ourselves.
It's a disrepresentative oligarchy.
Yeah, so this oligarchy, which has at the head of Gazprom and...
I love that word.
And Rosneft, which is the big oil company. If you look at the debt held by those companies for the expansion that they did, when the oil numbers were booming, they borrowed hugely to expand.
And that's definitely debt held by the public. It's not like owed to the Russians by the Russians.
Right. So this is Rosneft borrowed $55 billion to buy another oil company and bought a bunch of research rights in the Gulf of Mexico and very expensive places to drill. But he bought the rights to these developmental areas and spent $55 billion expecting that the price of his company was going to rise to $120 billion.
Ooh-hee.
This is the oligarch, and his name is, I will look here just a second.
Is it Rosnevsky or something?
It might be, with Rosneft being the name of the company.
Anyway, don't worry about it. You were just saying he, and I was trying
Session.
Okay. That's like when Congress is in session?
Or only with a CH instead of an S.
Oh, it could be Chechen.
Yes, it could be Chechen. Yeah,
yes.
Chechen. He could be Chechen. Who knows? That would make him not a friend to Putin, though. So,
well, who knows? Yeah.
Anyway, this debt is now owed, plus another $5 billion here or there that went from other. So they owe about $60 billion. And that's really debt that is owed by the Russians. Because if they fail to pay that to the banks, the Russian firm will go under. And that's where a vast amount of the Russian government revenue comes from these two big companies, Gazprom and Rosneft. They provide a majority of the revenue to the government from the taxes on the oil and the gas that they're pumping and exporting. So that puts the Russians in the same place the Chinese are in that sense, that they have a lot more debt that's off the books that is really government debt than they are saying that they do.
Well, one of the issues that to bear in mind here, 5 minutes left in this hour, by the way, is that if Russia imploded, we've seen that before.
Right. That's not going to have a big impact on the world stage.
That wouldn't cause...
It'd be a non-event. We're already not buying a whole lot from them, and they're not buying a lot from us.
Right. They're really minor piece of the world economy, and they're
way down the list as far as GDP. Texas has a bigger GDP.
Unless they went into a spasm of let's take some neighboring nations at that point,
that would have a problem.
Then it would not be one of the things that would cause a major impact. Although it might,
if they implode without using weapons, everything's fine.
Right,
they'll go through a period of
implosion,
rebirth and growth and all
probably,
that stuff.
It probably would take Europe right into a recession because they sell a lot of stuff to Russia.
Right. But if they, on the other hand, start using weapons during this implosion, then we could have some problems.
And that would take a while, though. So anyway, but the Chinese system, I've been trying to get my mind around the Chinese system.
Right.
And it is being held together by brute force. And as much as we don't like the idea that they're not being very democratic and liberal and American-like in Hong Kong and places like that, factually, from a purely practical point of view, it is in their best interest to maintain a communist dictatorship there that's not communist.
Yes, at least until they get to a point where they are on par with the rest of the world as far as their GDP per capita.
If they let democracy reign in Hong Kong and people do whatever they want to do, it will probably signal the end
of the stability that's there, yeah.
And I read a, for whatever it's worth,
The prices would drop in the housing market.
Right, it's called the Clash of Empires.
The banks would fail, and they would have a depression.
But I read a very good book, I just skimmed a very good book, which I intend to read, called The Clash of Empires, and it basically says that China is a very artificial nation. It was created by accident by the British.
That makes sense.
Because they drew lines around it, and everything outside of their lines became China. And as it became China, there would be five separate sets of people, five separate traditional nations that are welded together in China. And that lends to inherent instability because these nations want to spin off and become their own nations. So if they ever let Tibet go free, if they let the Hong Kong people elect their own people,
right.
Democracy is terrifying to them because it would result in the breakdown, breakdown.
Just look at Taiwan. Look at Taiwan and the tension over Taiwan, a little democratic bastion. And even though it's not fully democratic, it's
I don't think
they
call it a bastion.
They call it a basket. Anyway, we're about out of time for this hour. We've got a lot more to talk about next hour, but nobody seems to be listening. We got no calls this hour. So if you would like to contact us off the air and leave us a voicemail, you can reach us locally at
947-1111.
You can also reach that number toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN for voicemail. You can reach us by email at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can also go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com, and listen to podcasts and so on. And you're looking at me because
where you normally say
this. I just hate rushing at the end of the hour.
You hate Russian.
Yeah, I'm talking bad about Russians across the board, so I hate Russian at the end of the hour, too.
So now we're done closing out
the
show.
Well, I thought we could lead into the next hour and say what we're going to talk about, which would be a lot easier.
Do you think we know what we're going to talk about in the next hour?
That is a big presupposition, isn't it?
That's certainly amazing. Okay. best succession of quarters since 2002. Fresh signs of global slump challenge U.S. How to choose a financial advisor from Barron's.
Okay. Oh, I have some good ones, too, that I wanted to talk about as far as the growth of our internal economy in the United States and Texas.
Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. Oh. I also have some interesting things that are of the scientific nature to talk about as far as...
Is that the equivalent of, like, Ed Laughlin talking about football at the end of the show?
No, actually, because I believe the economy is intimately wrapped up with
football.
Science, and football has a part of an influence, but I think science has a longer-term influence.
You were in a minority on that one, but we'll be back next hour with more of the Personal Wealth Coach.
Your Fox News station in Central Texas, News Radio 1400 KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.